Today's shiur is Masechta Shkolim, Daf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Beis of Beis, eight lines from the bottom. Tanir of Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. As we know, in a Jewish leap year, there are 2 months of Elul. So the Gemara begins to focus, what is the halacha, what do we do in which month of Elul? Says the Gemara, Tanir of Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Mitzvahs ha-nahagas ba'da sheni, the mitzvahs that apply in the second Adar, meaning Megillah, Matanus Lavyainin, Shalach Manus, all the halachas of Purim, and of course the Dal Parshis that we read in the month Adar Sheni, Ein Hagis Adar Rishon. They don't apply another Rishon. Chutz Mehesped V'Tainus. The exception is that both Yudal Adar Rishon and Tezvav Adar Rishon. And similarly, both in Yudal and Yudalad Adesheni and Tezvav Adesheni, the halach is we don't make a hesped on those days, and we don't fast. They apply in both months. Rabba and Rabbi Yirmiya said in the name of Rav, and Rabbi Simon said in the name of Yishuv and Levi, that the halacha is indeed like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and that the primary Adar is Adar Sheni. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna Rabba Tzpern Amar says that indeed he agrees that the primary Adar is Adar Sheni. However, Hinnig, Rav Huna Tzpern Kador Rav Shimon Gamliel. It was the minig, it was the custom to follow that approach. Lo Yomai Ela Hinnig. He only said that was what they used to do, that was the way they acted, halalocha loy. And the difference if it's hinig or it's halacha, is that if it's halacha, it's something that is said publicly in the drasha. If it's hinig, it's something that's the way you act, that's the way if somebody comes and asks you a shayla, that's what you tell them to do, but it's not something that they speak about publicly. We know that every shtar, every document, has to have a proper date. So now the question is, which is the date that's put into the shtar if it's written in an Adar? In other words, if a document is written in Adar Rishon or it's written in Adar Sheni, in which of those documents do we just write the word Adar? And in which of those documents do we write if it's Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? Avlin shtaris, when it comes to shtaris, Ramey's opinion is kois from Adar Rishon. And when we write a document in Adar Rishon, we write the words Adar Rishon. When we write it in Adar Sheni, we write Stam. We don't have to say it's Adar Sheni. It goes without saying that it's Adar Sheni. That's Ramey's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda says just the opposite. That in Adar Rishon, we write Stam. If a document is written in Adar Rishon, we just write the word Adar without indicating that it's Adar Rishon. And when it comes to Adar Sheni, then we write Tinyanon that it's Adar Sheni. And the Paiskim say that even throughout Shas, whenever we have a machloikus Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore here as well, we follow the opinion of Ramey, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And when it comes to write a shtar, if we write it in Adar Rishon, we just write Adar. If we write it in Adar Sheni, then we write Adar Sheni. Even though, as far as all other halachas are concerned, Adar Sheni is considered the primary Adar. I also saw that their mefarshim want to say that that we just said, that we always follow the opinion of Yehuda regarding shtaris, is bezman hazeh. Because as we know, currently we have a fixed calendar. And we know years in advance which years will have two others, which years will only have one other. And therefore, in Adar Rishon we could write Adar, and in Adar Sheni we'll write Adar Sheni. But bezman shebeis hamidrash hayakayim, the way they established the new moon, the new month, and the year, was every year or every month through Beis Din so declaring. And therefore, when Adar Rishon comes, we're not quite certain, is there going to be an Adar Sheni or is there not going to be an Adar Sheni? And therefore, there, maybe we should write Adar Rishon by Adar Rishon, because we're not sure if there's going to be or not going to be an Adar Sheni. When we say Birchas HaChodesh, the Minig HaOlam is that we say, the Maril says this in his Minhagim, that when we say Birchas HaChodesh, before Adar Rishon, we should explicitly say it's going to be Adar Rishon. And before Adar Sheni, we should explicitly say it's going to be Adar Sheni. When it comes to a yahrzeit, most Paiskim are of the opinion that we keep the yard site in Odor Sheni. That's what we did. That's what the minig is regarding Zayin Odor. We know Zayin Odor is the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's Patira, and we keep Zayin Odor in Odor Sheni, not in Odor Rishon. And so too is the opinion as cited in the Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim Sim Tuf Kav Samaches Sif Zayin, that a yard site is considered Odor Sheni, even though, as the Chassam Sofer points out in his Tshuvas in Arachayim Sim Kuf Samach Gimel, that even though we just finished saying that regarding Shtoris, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and when it comes to the opinion of, and Rabbi Yehuda says that Odor Rishon is the Odor Stam, that's not to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Odor Rishon is the primary Odor. It says the Chassam Sofer, it's very possible that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the primary Odor is Odor Sheni. It's only regarding this specific halacha of Shtoris is where Rabbi Yehuda says we follow that Odor Rishon is the Odor Stam and Odor Sheni is written out explicitly. We learned further in the Mishnah that on the 15th day of Odor, Mesaknas Adrochim, Vesarachovis, Vesmikves Amayim, also called Tzorchei Rabim. We do everything that is needed for the community. There's a braisa that we're going to learn that speaks about Chol HaMoed. And Chol HaMoed has very similar halacha to Tezvav Odor. It's a day that when we do that, even though, of course, we spoke about this in Masechet Pesachim, then Chol HaMoed, it's also a malacha, but things that are for the community may be done on Chol HaMoed. So says the braisa, Eilin Tzorchei Rabim, Deinin Donim Meminis, if there's a serious financial case, we could do it during the entire could be in Chol HaMoed, in a fash, it's a capital case. Did a makis if somebody did an avera for which there's a chiv makis, or paidim erchin v'charam v'agdeshus. If somebody says erchilai, every person dependent on their age and on their gender has a certain value. Charamim, somebody could say something is a cherim. There are two types of cherim. There's a cherim that goes to the kahanim. There's a cherim that goes to bed kabayis. Or, of course, you could be magdi something. If you want to redeem them, it could all be redeemed in Chol HaMoed. Mashkin is a saita. If there's a woman, Chas V'Shalom, who was accused of adultery, the halacha is that we could give her the mei saita to drink to determine if she's innocent or guilty on Chol HaMoed. V'sarfen is a para. If we need to have the ashes of the paraduma to determine to make somebody tar, somebody who was tamei meis, the only way they could become tar is by having the ashes, the paraduma ashes and mayim chaim spritzed on them. Arfen egla rufa, if a corpse is found between two cities, lo noida mihiko, and we're not quite certain who killed this corpse. So there's a whole procedure that the Torah Kedosha describes. The Parshas Kiseitzei, we have to bring the ziknei, we have to measure which city is the closest city to that corpse, and then we go through a whole procedure of determining which city is the closest one, and then the zikanim have to go through a procedure. The halacha is that we could do it on Chol HaMoed, even though, as I saw, Rav Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer Nachal Eson explains that it was specifically done, that this whole procedure of the Egla Rufa should be done in a very public manner. And we would therefore think it should not be done in Chol HaMoed, because maybe it's a zilzal, a degradation in the Kiddush of Chol HaMoed. The Braisa teaches us that it can be done in Chol HaMoed. The rights in Eved Ivri, if there's someone who's an Eved Ivri, somebody becomes a slave who's Jewish, his maximum term is 6 years. But as the Torah Parshas Mishpatim teaches us, that if the Eved says, Ahafti es adoini es ishti, I'm happy with my employer, I'm happy with my wife and children that I have here from the Shifcha Kananis, lo yetze chofshi, I don't want to go out. So the Torah Kedoshah teaches us that we take that Eved to the hole, to the door, and we make a hole in his ear, and he stays v'avodah l'olam, he stays till yovel as an Eved Ivri. So I saw that the Mefarshim point out that in order for the Eved to be able to stay past 6 years, the halach is that before the 6 years is up, he must make this declaration that he wants to remain an Eved. But that's only as far as remaining and making the declaration. As far as the Ritzia, that could be even after the 6 years. And therefore, we could do whatever we want. And the Mishnah is teaching, this Bryce is teaching us it could even be done in Chol HaMoed. Umetarnas and Metzairah, a mitzvah that became tamei. The halacha is that this entire procedure, what has to be done, that procedure may be done on Chol HaMoed. Or farken es haminol melgabe hamayim. During the Mediterranean countries, it rains in the winter. It rarely rains in the summer. So what they used to do is they used to fill up pits with water during the winter, and they used to have a lack in those pits so that enough water would be able to accumulate during the winter. So the halacha is that as the Chol HaMoed comes, one can open up those pits, to open up the lock to let the water, to get access to the water. And then the Bryce is teaching us that once the summer begins and we open up these pits, the halacha is that they should remain open for the whole summer. Even though in the winter we close them, we don't close them in the winter. From here we see the fact that the Mishnah says that Matarinus and Mitzorin Chol HaMoed. So the Braisa is teaching us a chiddush, says the Shal Sechuvus Binyan Chadoshus, Simin Tzion, Binyan Tzion HaChadoshus, Simin Kuf Mem Zayin. That from here we see that the Tara of the Mitzorah does not necessarily have to take place on the day he becomes Tar. As long as he's ready for the Tahara, the halach is we could do it no matter when it takes place. Says the Gemara, Tamon Taninan. We learned in the first Perek, when we speak about Chol HaMoed, the halacha is mashkenas abeis ha-shalchan. Abeis ha-shalchan is a field that rainwater is inadequate to give it proper watering. And you have to water it, you have to bring water. The halacha is that they could do so during Chol HaMoed. But Sinan al kfaris, we're going to learn extensively now that they used to make markers on the kfaris in order to know where that there's a kever and that this is a place of tumah. Loikfat asked the Gemara, but haven't we just learned in our Mishnah, loikfat sina me other, that they already make these markers in Chodesh Adar. So why is it needed to be done in Chol HaMoed Pesach? The tifta, the answer is, shiorat shetev shal gesham mishotfa. There was a deluge of rain and wiped out the marker, so that halacha it could be redone on Chol HaMoed. We learned furthermore in that Mishnah what may be done in Chol HaMoed is the yoytznaf haklaim, that we could go out to take out the klaim of Chol HaMoed Pesach. But again, ask the Gemara, haven't we learned in our Mishnah like fayotzma other that they already went out in Adar to take care of the klaim? So why do we have to go out in Chol HaMoed? Answers the Gemara, tifta kishnas afela. It's a year where the whatever is growing came out late. So chamisha asa other, there was nothing yet to determine that these growths are klayim, and therefore enat smachim nikarim, they weren't noticeable until later when by Chol HaMoed Pesach. So there's two pshatim in this Gemara. One pshat is that it's just a year where whatever is growing came out late. Another pshat that I saw is that this was a year that for whatever reason they planted late, and if you plant late, what will grow will come out later. That's the teretz that the Yerushalmi gives. The Bavli asks a similar question, and the Bavli differentiates between zroyim, seeds, and yerokos, vegetables. He says seeds come out earlier. So for seeds, they could go ready on Tezvav Adar. Vegetables come out later, and therefore they're only noticeable on Chol HaMoed. So Al Gemara said that we allow to make markers on Chol HaMoed even. Ask the Gemara, Menayin Litzin, where in the Torah do we see that we make a marker on a grave? It says the Gemara, Brachya, Rabbi Yaakov, Barabbas, Yaakov, B'Shem, Rechununya, Debras, Chivrin. That was one version who said this. Another version is Rabbi Yossi Armelah. Rabbi Yossi said this. Rabbi Yaakov, Barachah, B'Shem, Rechununya, Debras, Chivrin. Rabbi Chizkiah says, Rabbi Zuriel Berei, Rabbi Zuriel, the son of Rabbi Chununya, Debras, Chivrin, said it in the name of his father, B'Shem, Rechununya, Debras, Chavrin. The Pasuk, when speaking about the Mitzorah, says that Tzeruah Ashabai HaNega Begodav Yir Purumim V'Rosh Yir Furuah V'Asafam Yata V'Tamei Tamei Yikra. We have to announce that this person is a Mitzorah. Why do we need to announce that this person is a Mitzorah? Because today HaTumah Kairul V'Fira, that everybody should identify that there's Tumah here V'Amar L'Prosh and stay away. We have to specifically announced Tumah to make sure that people should stay away from the Tumah. And in fact, I saw that the Shalos Tshuvos Binyan Chadosh Tzin, Shalos Tshuvos Binyan Tzin, in Simen Kuf Yutes, discusses a question where there was a doctor and there was a nafel, a child who was never came to full term, passed away, and the doctor wanted to hold on to that child and preserve it, that body, for medical research. And the question was he allowed to do it? So there are three issues that he raises. One is that there's many opinions that hold that even a nafel has a chiyuv kfura midaraisa. So he says it's actually machlokes rishonim. But according to rishonim that say that it has a chiyuv kfura, of course we have to bury it. The other point that he says is that there's a din that you're not allowed to have hanor from a mace. So if somebody's going to have that nafel in their home, we have to be concerned that they're going to have hanor from it. And the third consideration is, as we're learning in our Gemara says that we have to separate from Tumah. So if there's going to be a nafel in someone's house, and we don't even know that there's a nafel in the house, there's going to be a concern that I may walk into that person's house, which and then become Tumah, or a Kohen certainly may not walk into that person's house. And because of that, the halacha is that a nafel, that we have to bury the nafel under all circumstances. So the Bavli, when it quotes this Gemara, that says, when the Pasuk says regarding the Mitzayra of a Tamei Yikra, that we're learning from here that a Mitzayra should be announced, that people should know to stay away from the Mitzayra because the Mitzayra is Tamei. But ask the Bavli that the reason that the Mitzayra, Tamei Yikra, is that the Mitzayra should be left Mechutz L'machna, outside of where all of us are, today, Shivak Sholav Rachman, in order that we should be able to daven on his behalf. So what are we saying? That because we have to announce Tumah? So the Bavli answers, the Pasuk uses the words Tamei twice. The Tamei Yikra, to teach us two halachas. One is that the Tamei should be separated, and the other halacha is that we should daven for him, and the other halacha is to teach us that Tumah should always be separated and identified. Revela B'Shem Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman brings a different point how we know about that Tumah should be marked. The Pasuk in Yecheskel, the Psukim in Yecheskel, speak about Melchemes Gog Magog. And the Pasuk says that as the Melchama Gog Magog comes before Mashiach, and there'll be people who will perish. And the Pasuk says, V'ovro Oibim Be'oritz, V'ra Otzem Adam O'vona Etzloi Tzion. That's what the Pasuk says. It says that when we learn from Etzem, Mikanch Mitzayna L'Metzomis, that if you just have the bones of a person who passed away, even if the body decomposed, if you have most of the bones of the body, the halacha is, if you have a roiva, kav, of bones of a nifter, we have to make a marker. Adam, when we have, the Pasuk says the word Adam, Mikan, Shemitzayna al Shedra, that if you have the spine with the vertebrae, or you have the gilgoylus, if you have most of the skull, they also give off Tumah, and since they give off Tumah, we have to mark them. Uvana, so the Pasuk continues, says, Mikan Shemitzayna al Gabe Eva Kavua, that the stone that's put on top of the nefter, on top of the kever, should be a firm stone. She'im ata oimer, if we're going to allow you to use Evan Telusha, a stone which is not firm in place, we need to be concerned, af hi hoileches umetam makamacher, it may roll away and be metam somewhere else. And as the Mefarshim explained, there's going to be a dual consideration. One is that the place where the Tumah is, the place where there's really a dead person, now has no marker. And because it has no marker, people will not recognizing will expose themselves to Tumah. And number two, in the place where there really isn't a mace, there's going to be a marker. And because there's a marker there, people think that there's Tumah there when there really isn't Tumah. The Mashah in Masechta Shabbos points out that here we're learning that there's a din of Tzion Kfaris, that there's a din that one has to make a marker. And there's a question if that is only in Eretz Yisrael, the Mashah discusses, or is it only in Chutz La'aretz as well. Furthermore, I saw that the Gilyonei HaShas discusses, based on the different reasons that our Gemara gives, does this din that we have to identify Tumah only apply by Tumas Meis? because we're concerned that the Kohanim should not expose themselves to that Tumas Mace? Or does this then apply by all Tumas that we need to make a mark that we should prevent anybody from exposing themselves? Etzloi, says the Gemara, the Pasuk in Yecheskel continues, says, Uvona Etzloi Tzion, L'makom Tara, that the marker should be put not directly on top of where the Tumah is, it should be put on a place which is Tahor. So nobody should get too far and become Tumah before they're there. Tzion, and furthermore, the Pasuk says, Tzion Mikan L'Tzion, that we have to make an actual marker, that it should be very obvious that there is Tumah there. The Pasuk, the Braisa continues, if somebody's traveling on the road, Umatza Evan Achas Mitzuyanis, and he finds a marker, Abi Shein Kai McCain, we should not put the Tzion directly on top of the mace. The Loch is Hamalala Tomei, Bishani Oimer, Mace Mitzuyanis Nasutachtan. In other words, the Gemara is discussing now that we just discussed that the marker is not put directly on top of the mace. So now the question is that we know if somebody's mal, if somebody is on top of a mace, then he becomes tamei. So now the question is, if somebody is on top of the marker, do we need to be concerned that the mace is under the marker? And if the mace is under the marker, the person is tamei? Or do we not need to be concerned about that? And the Gemara says we need to be concerned for that. Hoyishtayim, if we see two stones with empty space under between them, we could assume that amal aleihem, that somebody who is on top of the stone is tahor, because we could assume that the nifter is between the two stones, and therefore the area that's under the stone, there is no nifter, there is no direct mace, that the area be named tamei. However, if we see chayrish benatayim, that the area between the two stones is plowed up, so that's indicative that we have here two stones, each stone having a mace under the stone, and therefore the halacha will be beinayim tar. The area between the stones is considered tar, the sivaseim, but under the stones is tamei. Tani, we learned in a brisa, emet simon alabasar. If we have only a kazayis of the basar, of the flesh of a nifter, rachman al-salam, we don't make a marker, because only a kazayis gives off tumah. But we could assume that kazayis will decompose. And once it decomposes, I don't have any more kazayis, and therefore I shouldn't make a marker. Shemin sakla basar, because the meat will decompose. Says the Gemara, but Rabbi Yosef ben Shimon ben Kamei, Rabbi Manav, lo mincha mitamei taharis. If we don't make a marker, as we're learning in our entire shir, isn't there a concern that you're going to come in contact with the mace and you'll have something which is tar become tamei? L'mafreya. So why are we being lenient and not requiring that even if there's just a kazayis, we should make a marker? Answers the Gemara, Amalei, mutav shiiskalku l'boy l'shaw. Chazal felt that it's better that there should be tumma there for a small amount of time, even though there's a risk you take, even though it means that long term, because otherwise if we're going to make a marker, people are going to think there's tumma there. But there really isn't tumma there, and people are going to believe that there's tumma there forever, and food that's really tar will be assumed as tumma, which of course is inappropriate. So that's why we don't make a marker. We don't make a marker over there. So here we see a new point that the Gemara makes, that we look at the long-term consideration, that the halacha tells us to take into consideration the long-term effects of what we're doing. So I saw that the Sefer Chashuki Chemed has a very interesting question. He says a terrible story. He says that there was a butcher who was caught. They saw that he was getting a delivery of non-kosher meat. And they were concerned that not just this butcher was getting this non-kosher meat, that there were other stores that were also getting these type of deliveries. But they had a very serious shaila. If they're going to make an announcement, be careful, this butcher is getting non-kosher meat, what's going to happen is that everybody is that all the other stores, that this butcher has non-kosher meat, all the other stores now will, of course, be on guard and not take that non-kosher meat, and we won't catch them. On the other hand, so maybe we shouldn't make the announcement until we could complete the investigation and see if any other stores are affected by this terrible, terrible situation. On the other hand, if we're going to wait until we make announcement, there are people who are eating from that meat that they bought, assuming that it's kosher, and that they have different kalim in their homes that they think are kosher when they're really not. So what should we do? That's the question that the Chashuki Chemed asks. And he says that our Gemara perhaps should be a consideration, because our Gemara just taught us that we think about the long term, not just the short term. And therefore, just like our Gemara says, since in the long term it's better not to make a marker when there's only a kazayas of basar or mace, so too maybe should be this consideration here. Don't make any announcements until we could successfully complete our investigation. That's the question that he discusses. So he says he asked this question of his father-in-law, Zatzal, Rabbi Yoshev. And Rabbi Yoshev said that the comparison to our Gemara is not correct, because Rabbi Yoshev said, in our Gemara, we're not dealing with a situation where there's Vada Yisr, where we know something Osir is happening. The concern is what's going to happen. And we have a number of ways of looking at this Shaila. And therefore the Gemara says, look at the long term, not just at the short term. But here we know that this butcher is selling non-kosher meat, and that the people who bought that meat have non-kosher meat in their home. We have to deal with that issue immediately. And then the Chashuki Chemed, a very nice discussion, discusses different situations. Do we look that there are different considerations to be taken in, to take place in making a decision, what is the right thing to do or is that or not the right thing to do? He discusses a situation where somebody had a baby on a Monday and the bris is supposed to be next Monday. And then there's another individual who had the baby the next day on Tuesday. But the first person is the kind of person that he's going to be able to have a moel come to do the bris, etc. The second person isn't that kind of an individual. So the discussion that the Chashuki Chemed discusses is maybe the person who's supposed to be making a bris on Monday should push off the bris till Tuesday. He should push off the bris till Tuesday, and like that, both of these babies will be able to have a bris. But the price that you pay for it is that this baby whose bris is supposed to be on Monday will not have a bris until Tuesday. What is better to do? That's the discussion that the Chashuki Chemed has. In that Shaila, if there was more time, we would go through all the various back and forth, but just to summarize, in that Shaila, the Chashuki Chemed says, once the Chiv Bris came on Monday, we have to make the Bris. This child won't have a Bris until the second child may not end up having a Bris, or certainly not in the proper time. That isn't our consideration. Our consideration here must be the bris of the child who has to have a bris. But on the other hand, he discusses an interesting shaila where somebody came to Russia and there was no tefillin available in Russia, and the people there asked him, could you please hold on, leave your tefillin here so that we should have a kosher pair of tefillin. But by leaving his tefillin there, what's going to happen is that the people, that he will miss a day wearing tefillin. Or he discusses another situation where somebody comes to davening and he's late and they're waiting for Shmon Esrei. And if he'll immediately start davening Shmon Esrei with the tzibur, he won't be able to be Soymet Gulul Tefillah. We know we're supposed to say Gol Yisrael right before Shmon Esrei. What should they do? So he says, he makes two very important points. He says, one point, which is what we began with, never may we do an Aveira. We're never allowed to do an Aveira. And therefore, we're never allowed to let a person eat non-kosher meat because whatever consideration we're thinking about. Having said that, however, he does say that is because we're involved in doing an Aveira. Here we're just talking about not doing a mitzvah. And therefore he says, not doing a mitzvah is much less of a concern than actively doing an Aveira. And particularly when we're not doing a mitzvah, we're going to be helping that the tzibur should be able to do a mitzvah. Sometimes that should be taken into consideration and do think about the big picture, not just the individual. Says the Mishnah, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Bereshayna, we spoke in our first Mishnah that they announced on Arche Ba'odar about the Kalayim. And then they sent out Shluchim to look at everybody's fields about the Kalayim. Says the Gemara, Bereshayna, Oikrim U'mashlichim Afneim. The Shlichei Beis Din would rip out the Kalayim and throw it on the field where it grew. And says the Mishnah, Mishrabba Ayver Aveira, and the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Mashlichim Medrochim. They threw it on the road. And then, ultimately, Hiskinu Shei Mafkir is called Soda, they made the whole field Hefker. And the Gemara elaborates. Amar Yehuda Tani. Amar Yehuda Bereshayna Ya'ikrim Mashlichim Lefneim. They uprooted the Kalayim and threw it in front of the owners of those fields. Vayismeichim Shtei Smachas. And the owners of those fields were doubly happy. Achas Shei Menachin said the same. The fields got cleared out. And Achas Shei Nenem Kalayim, that they have now the Kalayim that they could feed their animals. So says the Mishnah, Mishrabba Ever Aveira. So when that became a real issue, Hayim Ashlichim Al Adrochim, they threw the Kalayim on the road, so they shouldn't have any anor from the Kalayim. So says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Api Shay Smechim Shay Menachas to the same. They were happy that their fields got cleared out, so and therefore they weren't upset. And therefore, Skinu Shay Mafkim Kol Sada Kula, they made the entire field Hefker. There's an interesting machlokes between the Torah and the Beis Yosef. When it says here that they made the field Hefker, does that mean that it automatically becomes Hefker? Or does it have to be specifically announced? The Torah seems to learn that it becomes automatically Hefker. The opinion of the Beis Yosef is that they have to be declared, they have to be declared as Hefker. The other question that the Michas Chinuch discusses is this only the field that becomes Hefker? The Michas Chinuch asks two questions. One question is it the field that becomes Hefker or just what grows from the field? And we know that when something is made Hefker, you could take ownership of it. Is the halacha that you could take ownership, only the owner could take ownership of it? Or is the halacha that not that the owner could take ownership of it, anybody else can, but not the owner? Or is it the halacha that even the owner could reclaim ownership? Says the Gemara. So we see from here the concept of Hefker Beis Din Hefker. The Beis Din has the right to make something Hefker. Ask the Gemara, Menayin Shehefker Beis Din Hefker. Where does the halacha teach us that that is indeed the halacha? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Ezra, the kol shel yovel shloish es yom batzas asorim vezakenem yechrim kol rechushoy vehu yibad bekol koila, that Beis Din has a right to confiscate. Continues the Gemara, the halacha is that Hefker is potter from Maisa. So the Gemara says, how do we know that something that's Hefker, even with Hefker Beis Din, is not chayiv in Maisar? Says the Gemara, Rav Yonasan Bereid, Rav Yitzchak Bar Achav Shomaloi, he heard it Menadov from the following Braisa. The Braisa teaches us, Eimam Seshana, we spoke earlier in our Yishir, that the Jewish leap year has two others. So the loch is that we don't make Loi Shvius, we don't make the Shemitah year into a leap year, the Loi Matzah Shvius, and not the eighth year. Vim Ebrua, if Beis Din did, Harezim Muberis. Now, ask the Gemara, by adding another year, month to the year, what happens by adding that month? That month, whatever grows in the year of Shemitah, there's no Chiv Meiser. So you see that Beis Din has the ability to make something, to make it into a time that were part of a Meiser. How could Beis Din do that? Because Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Says the Gemara, Ad Kedain Shvius, we could understand why the Shemitah year should not be declared a leap year, because we don't want to extend the amount of time that we can't work in the field. But ask the Gemara, Matzah Shvius Mai, why may the eighth year not be declared as a Shemitah year? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbein Shloil Rabbis B'Issa Chodesh. We know that the Issa Chodesh is that any grain that's planted after the second day of Pesach may not be eaten until next year Pesach. So obviously, during the Shemitah year, they didn't plant anything. So when did they start planting? In the eighth year. But anything that they plant from the beginning of the eighth year will not be allowed to be eaten until the second day of Pesach, when the Chodesh becomes Mutter. By making an extra month of Adar, what we're doing is that by doing that, we're extending the amount of time of Chodesh. So because we don't want to extend the time of Chodesh, says the Gemara, we shouldn't make the eighth year either into a Shemitah year. Rav Zeir b'Shem Rav Elazar, Hadadat Amit, this that we said that we can't make the Shemitah year or the eighth year into a leap year, was actually hit the Rebbe Lahavi Yerek Mechutz Laretz. Originally, the halacha was they couldn't bring vegetables from Chutz Laretz. The reason they couldn't bring vegetables from Chutz Laretz is because there's a gzeira that the earth of Chutz Laretz is Tameh. And there was a concern that when you bring the vegetables, along with the vegetable, you're going to bring clods of earth from Chutz Laretz and bring that Tumen to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there was a shortage of food in Eretz Yisrael, so we don't want to extend it. Av Meshit, the Rebbe Lohavi Yerek Chutz Laretz. Once Rebbe allowed us to bring vegetables from Chutz Laretz, so then there's plenty of food available in the Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he shvius he shashne shvua, the Shemitah year and the other years are all the same. Says the Martani Ema Abram, the loch is that we should not make not the Shemitah year nor the eighth year into a leap year. Amar Mana Hadodat Amar, when was that said? Where everybody was in Eretz Yisrael. Aval Achshav, where we are in Golis, and most of Eretz Yisrael in those times were in the hands of Nachrim, so Shemitah wasn't really that applicable. The Shemitah year and the other years, any year can be made into a leap year. Says the Gemara, Tani, they made the eighth year into a Shemitah year without any concern that they don't have enough food. Amar of Ava in Mahado, the rice. All your rice is not rice. Let Ashma Naklum. The rice that you're trying to bring from the loch of Shemitah is not a good rice. Because the Torah says regarding Yont of Pesach, Shmaras Chodesh Aviv, Vasisa Pesach Lashem Alakecha. What we learn from here is, Shamreyu Shiviyu B'chadushay. We have to be careful that Pesach should come out in the spring. So the reason we're making it into a leap year is because the Torah told us that we have to have Pesach in the leap year, and in the right season. So that's why we're making it into a leap year, because the Torah wants that, and that has nothing to do with what Hefka Bezin has them. So the Gemara says, I'll bring you another raya, how we see Hefka Bezin has them. The Locha, the Mishnah Masech, the Peya, Perek Hei, Mishnah Aleph teaches us, good Godish, Shloi Luka Tachtav, if you have a pile of grain that you didn't let the Neim get their leket, which was under it, you hit it. The loch is kol anoigus be'aretz, anything that's touching the ground, harei and shol aniyim. Bezdin declares and belongs to the aniyim. V'amar v'ami b'shem r'shim be'lokish. This is the opinion of Beis Shammai. Because there's a machloikus throughout Shas, if hefker l'aniyim have a hefker. And here we see that even if it's just for the aniyim, it's considered hefker. Dika Beis Hillel, according to Beis Hillel, some things is only hefter for the aniyim. Neim Oichlim Masrim, the Neim could eat from it, it'd be Mechuiv and Maisa. Vomle Rabbi Yossi, Shemana Shapatim and Maisa Divra Kol. Even Beis Hillel will agree, because Bezdin has the right to make a Knas. So here we see Hefker Bezdin Hefker, that something that works, that the Rabban have tremendous power. So I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan in his Shail Sechuvis uses this Gemara regarding Mechiris Chometz. We know, of course, that we're not allowed to own Chometz Medaraisa. And of course, we sell the chametz to a nachri. But in order to affect a transaction, according to the halacha, we have to do a kinyan. So Rav Yitzchak Chanan, the Shaul Tshuvas Ein Yitzchak, Chelek Aleph Simen Chav Beis Arachayim, discusses if a kinyan de Rabbanon would be valid to affect a mechiras chametz. So he says, once we've established the concept of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, the halacha is that it would be actually valid. The Chasam Sofer brings another raya to the din of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, because the Torah says, this is the Gemara Masechta Gittin, the Flam of Vav Mabez, that the halach is that Bezdin the Yeshua came to Tzisrael, he had the right to make the determination what should go to whom. So we see here that Beis Din has tremendous authority. It says the Chasam Sofer, if you follow that source, there's a new halacha. Says the Chasam Sofer, if we're going to follow that source, we're going to learn that not only can Beis Din confiscate, but Beis Din could confiscate and give something to someone else. Till now, we only learned that Beis Din could confiscate. Now we're learning that they could confiscate and take what they confiscated and give it to someone else. Our Gemara also taught us the power of Beis Din. The power of Beis Din that they could uproot the Klayim and throw it away. So I saw a tremendous, very important lesson. Rav Yaakov Landau was the Rav of Bnei Brak. And he once walked into one of the stores where he gave Hashgacha. And it wasn't an issue that the store owner had brought something which wasn't kosher. The issue was that the store owner had brought something in that the Rav had told him, I don't want to be found in the store. And when he saw that he had done this, he took down the certificate, the kosher certificate, and in front of all of the customers in the store, he ripped it up. So the question is, yes, he did what a Rav is allowed to do. He did what the Rav is supposed to do. The question is, he was mevayish. He embarrassed the storekeeper. Is he allowed to do this? Because on one hand, our Gemara is very much a proof that one is allowed to embarrass somebody who does an Aveira. They ripped out the Klayim in front of these people. On the other hand, the Gemara in Masechta Soita, that Flamed Beis and Mabeis teaches us that one should daven Shemoneh Esrei quietly, not that anybody should hear the Shemoneh Esrei. And the reason for that is because a person during Shemoneh Esrei speaks about the Averis he did, and therefore we don't want he should be embarrassed that people should hear his Averis. So the question is, when are we allowed to embarrass somebody, when not? So the Marsham makes a very important distinction. He says, when the purpose of embarrassing the person is that he should not repeat and do Averis in the future, that we may do so even publicly. If, however, the person, that isn't the consideration, we're not allowed to embarrass someone. Says the Mishnah, B'chamisha Asar, on the 15th day of Adar, Shulchanos Yoshim Medina, they had tables set up to start collecting the Machsa Shekel. But Esim V'chamisha, on the 25th day of Adar Yoshim Migdash, they sat in the base of Migdash, and Mishyoshim Migdash, and once they sat in the base of Migdash, Hischilu L'mashkein, they force people to pay up the machzor of the shekel. There's a very big machloikus. What is the definition of Medina and what Migdash? Most learn Medina is everywhere outside of Yerushalayim, and Migdash is Yerushalayim. However, there are those that say Medina is Yerushalayim, and Migdash is the base of Migdash. Why on the 25th day did they already sit in the base of Migdash? Because since it's already so close to the time, we want to already show the seriousness and we're collecting the money in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ritva says, by the 25th day of Adar, most people will have given the Machzor Shekel. And since there's just a few people left, we could start collecting the Beis HaMikdash. Esmi Mashkenim. So says the Mishnah, from whom do we force payment? Says the Mishnah, Levim v'Yisraelim, Geirim v'Avadim Shechrorim, Avloi Noshim. Women are not obligated, as we're going to discuss. And since they're not obligated, we don't force them. V'avadim v'ktanim, nor avadim nor ktanim. However, says the Mishnah, kol katan shehischa aviv lishkol v'yodai, if you have a child that his father already began giving the shekel, machzor shekel on his behalf, shuv ani paisik, he should not stop. The pashup shat, why not, is because it's considered like a nether. And once it's a nether, once you make a nether, you have to fulfill your nether. Another explanation that Rishonim give, it's included in the mitzvah of chinuch, that once you are mechanech your children, that they should give machzor shekel, the chinuch means that they should continue doing it always. Another pshat I saw is that it's a takonas chazal. Chazal made a takona that once you start giving, you should continue forever. However, the Bartanura points out that what happens if the father passes away, does the son have to give? So I saw that he wants to suggest it depends. If the father left over money, so then he should use, that's part of what the father wanted to be done with his money. If the father did not leave over money, then the halacha maybe is that he doesn't have to use his own money.
Says the Gemara, Eime Mashkin, says the Mishnah, Eime Mashkin is Kahanim, Nei Daka Shalom. We don't force the Kahanim to contribute because of Daka Shalom. Says the Mishnah, Oime Rabbi Yehuda, Heid Ben Bukhari Yavna, Kol Shoykel, Kol Koin Shoykel, Ein Achayta. If a Koin contributes, it's not, he doesn't do Aveira. In other words, as we're going to see, Ben Bukhari's opinion is the Kahanim don't have to contribute to the Machzor Shekel, but if they want to contribute, they're not considered that they did an Aveira. It's not considered they did an Aveira. And because we're certain that they give it over full-heartedly to the Hegdish. Amalai Rav Yochanan and Zakkai. Rav Yochanan and Zakkai disagreed. He says, Loi ki ela kol koin she'en a shekel. If a koin doesn't contribute to the Machzor Shekel, choyta. He's a Baal Aveira. And Rav Yochanan Zakkai says, why did the Kahanim assume that they do not have to contribute? El shekahanim darsha mikra zeh la'atzman. The Torah says regarding Karban Mincha brought by a Kohen, the Kamechas Kohen kol tiyah l'seichel. The Kohen brings the Karban Mincha, it must be completely burnt. Now there's certain Karban Mincha which are from the Tzibur. So if we're going to contribute to the with our machzor shekel to those karban mincha, they should be completely burned. So that's why the Kahanim said we should certainly not contribute because our contribution can only cause a problem. Says the Mishnah, Emes Mashkin to Ketanim. We can't force the Ketanim to give the machzor shekel. We can ask for them. Hadadar the Tamer says the Gemara. At what point can we ask the Ketanim to contribute? Says the Gemara, that's only B'shevi Shtei Saris, when they're 13 years old and brought Shtei Saris. Avol M'loi Hevi Shtei Saris, if they're younger than that, Loi Bada, that's not when we ask them for the Machzor Shekel. Well, a Mashkin, Ema Mashkin, to force them, Abishai Shtei Saris, until they're 20 years old. Kinemus Nisan, says the Gemara, that our Mishnah says we don't ask the Kahanim, we don't force them. Neidake Shalom. Kidimas Nisan, Eme Mashkin is Kahanim, and that's the way we have to understand the Mishnah, that we don't ask the Kahanim to contribute, B'nei Darach Kavod, since they are so important to us, we don't force them. Interesting question, that do we, even though we don't ask the Kahanim, is that only Kahanim who do the Avodah? And because they do the Avodah, that's why there's a Derech Kavod. So that would mean a Kohen who's unfortunately Baal Mum we can't force, or is it any Kohen? So we learned in the Mishnah, the Machlaikis of Ben Bukhari and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, if Kohanim contribute to the Machzor Shekel. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Tam de Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, that even Kohanim contribute, because the Torah, when it speaks about the Machzor Shekel, says, Zeh Yitnu, Zeh is the Gematria 12, Shneim Shvas Shvatim Yitnu, all 12 Shvatim. Says the Gemara of Tavi B'Shem Rafunu Kach Meshim Chachamim. The Chachamim hold that the Kahanim have to give Machzor Shekel, say to Yehuda, that just because the Kahanim carbon are different, that's only by carbon Yachid. But the Machzor Shekel are used for carbon Tzibur. And carbon Tzibur and carbon Yachid have very different rules. And therefore, even though the carbon Mincha of a Kayin is burnt completely, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the carbon mincha of the tzibur. Says the Gemara, and where do we see that there's a difference between a carbon yochid and a carbon tzibur? We see that by the carbon chattas. Many times, the Gemara, particularly in the Kotch Masechta, speak about chomesh chatos meisis, about five different types of carbon chattas that are left to die. But that is only chattas yochid meisis, by a carbon chattas that's brought by an individual, that is the halacha. Ain't chatas tzibur meisa, but it's not by carbon chatas of the tzibur. And therefore, similarly, machas yachid, if a kohen brings a carbon mincha, the halacha is crave, it has to be burned. However, michas tzibur, even if the kohen is a participant, crave a that the ain michas tzibur crave a kol doesn't have to be burned. Ask the Gemara, this approach is difficult. Meshivin la'odim davish ain't a maidim alai. This is the question that we're asking on Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with this distinction between carbon yochid and carbon tzibur. The Tanan, the Mishnah indeed teaches us that the Chacham's opinion is that ain't chatas tzibur meisa. Rabbi Yehuda says that just like a chatas yochid is meisa, chatas tzibur has the same din, Thomas. And then we don't agree to that distinction. V'hu mois v'lon, and Rabbi Yehuda responds to the Chacham, Zulo nedvitz yochid hi. The Michas Kayin is not a yochid. So how could they, by contributing, it becomes their carbon. And since it's their carbon, how can we allow them to contribute and then it won't have to be burnt? And the Chacham respond, in a mesivin lay, nimsru l'tzibur, when the Kahanim contribute the machza shekel, k'moshim nevet tzibur, becomes nevet tzibur. The Pasuk says, so now the Gemara suggests another basis for the machloikis, if Kohanim are obligated or not obligated to contribute to the machza shekel. The Torah says, kol ha'oiver abakudim. So the question is, what is meant with kol ha'oiver, whoever passed through? Says the Gemara, it's actually a machloikis or b'yehuda of Nechemya. Chara omar, kol da'ava b'yama, whoever went through Kriyas Yams of Yitin has to contribute to the Machzor Shekel. The Charon Amen, the other opinion holds, called the Ova Apukudai Yitin, whoever contributes in the census of Klal Yisrael. So now we can understand the Machlokes. Manda Amen, Kol Ova Ba'am Yitin, whoever passed through Yamsuf should contribute to the Machzor Shekel. So the Kahanim and Levim, of course, were part of Kriyas Yamsuf. And therefore it's a right to Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai that even Kahanim and Levim should give to the Machzor Shekel. However, man da amar kol da ava al pugudai yitain, whoever was part of the census with the rest of Klal Yisrael, we know that the Kahanim and Levim were not counted together with the rest of Klal Yisrael. We know that the Kahanim and Levim were counted from a younger age, and therefore Kahanim and Levim are not together with the rest of us, and therefore it's a right to Ben Bukhri that they don't have to contribute to the Machzor Shekel.